regarding the Cambridge Nutrition Canada Limited. This is a letter addressed to John Benson, Esquire, New Mana, Logan, Utah, USA, written by Z. Charnel, Monday, April the 25th, 1988. Dear John, this is a follow-up on my prior letter, although I have received no acknowledgement that you have received it, nor any response to it. I am simply trusting your good intent and sincerity. I first drafted this letter March the 28th. We were called to a session in Toronto last Friday evening. Right up to the hour of departure, I planned to go. At that moment, I sent three of my associate counselors. I was exhausted. The content of the meeting was the Cambridge Business Opportunity. It is reported that there were 20-some who attended. Both Doug and Lynn were there. I have had many afterthoughts about the issue of the health and well-being of Cambridge Nutrition Canada. There are perhaps only three or four further points I will communicate. At the onset of our relationship with CNC, Cambridge Nutrition Canada, we were shown the Mississauga offices and were told that these offices had an extra desk and chair and telephone for the use of the counselors when they are in the area. We believed what we were told. Both Lynn and Don Schroeder told us this. When Sue attempted to use the desk, chair, and telephone to communicate with our Toronto area customers, we were quickly told not to use the telephone in case headquarters was attempting to contact George by telephone. I now learn it is a fundamental pattern of job definition, the sense of personal worth and fear that seems to be at work. Doug Rawson telephoned me earlier this week. He was pleasant. The fundamental problem is that the representations of any member of the corporate staff may be overridden at any time. It is not a company operated on the basis of stated principles and policies unless those stated principles and policies defend and uphold the personal authority of the chief executive officer. The longer this situation remains, the greater the loss and the more serious the consequences. CNC has this fundamental flaw. It is not only illustrated by this incident, but even by the contradiction of being handed one new document of policy in October and having the old only distributed in the kits since. We just received two more kits for two more counselors. On the 25th, we called to review the central report of activity of our downline. We intended to make our order supplement their level of ordering. The information wasn't available. Debbie didn't know how to retrieve it, and Vaughn was in the car on the way back to Utah, so we placed no order at all. We have been waiting on some response to the large number of bars we had to return, like the sample we sent to you. We received them today, April the 25th. We have been waiting on some response to the promise of marked wrappers for the bars and on the mushroom soup. This is the second month in a row we have not ordered our typical more than $5,000 worth of product. I thought that would say something if our letters weren't answered. That action would be... When Joan called Sue back about the returned product, she was told we should have sent the sample to Dennis Jones. Where is that policy stated? When was that communicated? To what address should we have sent these samples? We don't have one for Dennis. The level of sales through my group counselorship has constituted a large portion of the total sales of the company. Is it so little noticed? So little regarded, so little heeded, there seems to be an attempt to substitute politeness for competence. Politeness cannot be lost, but it is no substitute for alert, awake management. I'm going to write to Doug one more time. John, have you received my letter? Please acknowledge the amount of effort I have made. The performance bonus schedule says something. It says the greatest incentive is to sign as a counselor. The immediate consequence is a percentage of savings of 29.6% for what was a patron. This is also a disincentive for the signing counselor. The patron profit is traded for a bonus of from 3% to 20%. Further, the counselor who gains the new downline gets nothing on the counselor kit. As you increase the counselor's performance, you may increase your volume, but you incrementally diminish your bonus, especially if you are already at a plateau. I could go on and on about the coarseness of the increments, the shape of the curve, etc. These issues are all contributory to a fundamental consequence from fundamental policies. Eventually, everyone reaches their target weight if they persist. The Cambridge formula is a nutritionally dense food. It provides a baseline of good nutrition. One of the most immediate benefits is not just what you gain nutritionally, but what happens as a result of not consuming the prepared and tainted foods which serve as an alternative to the Cambridge formula. The whole emphasis stated in the brochure is on leadership in the field of weight control. Upon reaching the target weight, one is directed by the pamphlet to the effect that one or two of the Cambridge formula meals is abandoned. This means the proteins, carbohydrates, fats, minerals, and vitamins which supplement and complete the Cambridge formula must be gained in the revised diet. Someone needs to have learned how to choose the food, needs to be able to obtain what they choose, needs to know how to prepare and how to not prepare what they have learned to choose and obtain. When and how did they learn this? Did the counselors know? Did they communicate? The whole incentive for counselorship is quantitatively based. There is no incentive for a quality of counselorship. So far, Dr. Howard and the Cambridge formula have had the fortune of having come upon the counselor system in the USA. The fundamentals of the product offer so much. The intellectual property management could be outstanding. Someone, somewhere, needs to awaken to the need for some changes which are required. Continued concern. Z. Charnot, Domain Environments Corporation.